Hello out there. Welcome to your next mission video podcast. Today, we're talking about purpose-driven leadership, how one soldier turned her experience in the military into a mission to empower others to lead with courage, compassion, and clarity. From a humble beginning in the inner cities of New York City to the forging a distinguished career spanning over two decades in the military, our guest exemplifies perseverance through uncertainty can be transformed into a powerful journey of purpose and achievement. Please stay tuned. You won't want to miss this inspiring conversation. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining. And as always, thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and their families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of our military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. Together, they make your next mission happen. We love our veterans and families, say it every week. We love them too. Today, we're talking about what it takes to build a strong leaders in uniform, in business, and in life. And I'm honored to welcome Shirley V. Baez, author, speaker, entrepreneur, coach, founder of Leadership Academy, make sure I say that right, and a board member of the Black Ops Foundation, and a first sergeant, retired first sergeant. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Sergeant Major, for having me. I'm super ecstatic.
Okay. Well, I can't, they got Shirley down here, but I'm going to call you first sergeant. I can't get out of that stuff. I'm just an old soldier. Before we dive into all the stuff, how about telling the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, no, thank you for having me first and foremost. My name is Shirley Baez. I integrated into the United States Army in 2001, right when 9/11 hit. So I'm a global war on terrorism baby. It was such an impactful moment that I didn't even realize that when I swore an oath to come in, having in my head that I just wanted to go to college, right? I just wanted to go to school. When that happened, I was in New York City, and it just changed my mind automatically to want to serve. And so I came in 2001 under the delayed program, the delayed entry program. And I became a logistician, ammunition specialist, 89 Bravo. I did that for 9 years. And when I felt that I had perfected my craft, I said, you know what? I want to challenge myself a little further. And I want to work in a smaller team. And at that time, deployed to Iraq, I came across a lot of special operators, right? Civil affairs, psychological operations, Green Berets, you know, and they all talked about the soft community. I came across civil affairs specialists told me about it, and I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the autonomy, the small team, kind of just given the commander's intent, go on and do great things. And so I then went to the qualification course for civil affairs, and that is where I finished off my career, 12 to 13 some years there. I was a civil affairs specialist, then a team sergeant on a team deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, Africa, and South America, specifically Colombia. And and I completed my time as a SWIC instructor.
Oh, you got that Colombia down pretty good. That's pretty good. I tell you, the other thing I'll tell you is that if you're like me, when you did 8 years in logistics, you probably wanted to be promoted. You've seen advancement. You wanted to be challenged. And absolutely. For all of us, we want to be challenged, and, you know, and we want to move as far as, or far as fast as we can in the military. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Hey, what inspired you to take your military experience and turn it into a mission of helping others, you know, to lead and heal? What inspired you to do that?
Well, you know, when I decided to transition, I already knew it in my heart that it was time to hang up the gloves. And as I was transitioning during COVID. So we didn't have a lot of interactions with people. Everything was virtual, but I knew that I wanted something different. I did, you know, this great career for 20 years. I wanted to go back to like my roots of being a creator, of like just creating things and helping people thrive. And throughout my time in transition, I figured out how to focus on the end in mind and really what I wanted to become now as my new chapter begins. And so I was able to figure out the whole transition thing. And that really inspired me to put together something where I'm teaching, coaching, and mentoring, provided that I was also an instructor, so that I have a love for teaching others to now guide them and mentor them and coach them throughout any pivots in their life, whether it's in the military or their businesses or professional lives. So I got kind of an itch, something that I just couldn't take off my head, take out of my mind. And I said, you know what? I have to follow my instincts here. And that's when I went full in into businesses and just being in organizations where I'm giving back, because it's all about giving back as well and just making an impact in my community.
You know, I'm smiling a little bit because you almost sound like me. You know, when I went out in the military, when I went in the military, when you go in the military, you go in as a young person. You know what I mean? And for something happens to you when you're in the military, and you change inside and out. You know what I mean? And you see things so much differently. And so what happens is when you come out of the military, you want some purpose in your life, and you want to give some people some purpose, and you want to lead, and you want to mold, and you want to create, and you just sort of stumble around until you find out, you know, where's that spot that I actually fit in, that I can make change and make the world a better place. So that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, when I got out, I did the same thing. I sort of stumbled around a little bit, and then finally one day, you know, somebody asked me to do something. And which led to me opening up a company and doing a bunch of other stuff. So it's just people want purpose in life. And that sounds to me that you found your purpose in life to sort of build some young adults and or old adults or whatever you got in your class. I don't know. But to help people and point them in the right direction. And that's again, I got to go back to being that first. That's what first sergeants do. They lead and set the example, you know, so I got that. Hey, during the prep call, you said leadership isn't about position or rank. It's about serving others first. You got to expand on that just a little bit.
Yeah, so to me, and this is what I learned throughout my time as a first sergeant, I see people as humans first. I see them as humans first. I think and I'm speaking for myself and my journey, a lot of times I saw myself just performing through the leadership principles that I learned, not necessarily through my own person, right? And so I wanted to be as authentic as possible. And for me, it was looking at them as human beings, aside from the jobs, the titles, the mistakes, you know, and empowering them, seeing their natural gifts and empowering them to push through and to contribute to the whole mission. And so for me, it was a learning curve and it was growing pains for me, because I thought, especially coming from the 82nd, you always think that you have to be like, you know, the knife hand and all of that. But as I grew and matured, I knew that it was much more deeper than that. It was about connecting and building trust with those you lead.
Yeah, you hit it on the nose. I talk about it all the time. They got to trust you, and they got to know that that you care about them. The other thing is you have to be approachable.
Yes.
They got to be able to talk to you, and you got to, I always say, you got to be a good listener and a good communicator. So you got to talk to them and then be smart enough to listen to what they have to say. And if you don't do that, if you don't listen to them, then they just, you'll turn them off. The other thing is, I think it's really important too, is I used to do, when I was a first sergeant and a sergeant major, you got to get in their environment and you got to talk to them in their environment where they feel comfortable. I used to, this sort of, I get off this in a minute, but I used to go to the day rooms on the weekends when I was a sergeant major and a first sergeant. And I'd go in and sit in TV and watch TV or play foosball or play pool. And then they say, first sergeant, you could be home. I said, that's okay. You got. And so people would start talking to me and start telling me things because I'm sure this makes sense to you. I blended in.
Yes.
I blended right in with them. And they knew that I didn't want anything else that they wanted. I wanted to be like them, and I'm a soldier. And so we connected real quick. So it's I think the biggest thing about leadership is are you approachable?
Yes.
Are you going to listen? Are you transparent? Are you going to talk to them? The other thing is I always was bothered by this when I ran into leaders that did this. You run into people sometimes that talk down to you.
Yes.
Versus eye to eye. And it just drives me crazy. Last thing I'll get off this, I love talking about leadership, is I've been around good leaders and bad leaders. And all the bad leaders, I learned a lot from them, what not to do. And the good leaders, and I just keep putting in my backpack, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. I'll never do, oh, this is good. This is good. I'm going to keep that too. But you can learn a lot from the good and the bad. And then the last thing, again, you're talking about something I love talking about. Everybody fails in life.
Yes.
Everybody makes mistakes. And you have the responsibility is when they fail is to pick them off, dust them off a little bit, sort of mold them a little bit, and then push them on again. You know, because everybody's going to fail. No, nobody's perfect in life. You, me, or nobody else. And so it's
inevitable because that's when you learn and you have your breakthroughs is when you fail. But what's more important is failing forward. And I know I've had my share of failing forward. And that's what made me a stronger and better leader. And that is something that I also instilled in the guys and gals that I led, is that I wanted to connect with them on that level.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Not only on the soldierly level, because we can be soldiers all day long, but like, let's touch back into who you are, right? Who you are. Don't be ashamed. You know, don't be ashamed if you make a mistake. We can definitely rectify that. And we learn from those mistakes and push forward. And so I just really wanted to be real with them. And I love when you said, you know, you integrate yourself in the environment, because I learned so much at first. And, you know, I think that's why I take everything that I do in life now out of the military, because the military was such a big school of life and of leadership for me. At first, you know, the military puts you in situations where sometimes you're like, what, me? Really? What are you? What?
Yeah,
yes,
I can't believe it. Yeah, yeah.
You are doing it, right? And it just makes you get so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable that you have no other choice but to perform. And when I became a first sergeant, it was that imposter syndrome, like, oh my God, why are they entrusting me with this diamond? And at first I saw myself struggling with that. And what was important there is, as I struggled, my subordinates, my soldiers mirrored that. Like, they were your mirrors of like your insecurities and everything else, until I, like you said, to your point, integrated myself. I went home. I was like, what am I doing? Like, what? Because I was trying to figure out, why is it something not happening? And when I started integrating myself, something as simple as going to their office, going to their house, saying hello, how are you? How's your kids? It makes so much of a difference.
Oh, big difference. Makes a big difference. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And your soldiers let you know that for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I got to say one thing. Like I said, we're going to take a quick break. I used to ask people this question. Do you change, could be a company, do you change a platoon or does a platoon change? Do you change a platoon or does a platoon change to you or something like that? And really the answer to the question is, it's a balance. Yeah. You got to find where that balance is. You know, you're going to change a little bit, they're going to change a little bit, but where's the balance? The other thing I think is important too is people make mistakes. Right. I used to tell you, I bring soldiers in the office or or sit down with somebody that made a mistake. Once they make that mistake and you correct them, you forget about it and go on. And I tell them the same thing. Everybody falls. Everybody makes mistakes. Now, correct. We're going to correct this. We're going to do whatever we got to do. And then you go on and forget about it, because I'm going to forget about it. I'm not going to hold it against them. And I never held anything against anybody. We need to take a quick break. I love this conversation. When we come back, I want to talk about, I love what you say here, Leadership Academy. I said that little play on words right there. I like that. So please stay right there. I'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant of the Army. And if you're enjoying the discussion, I know you are, because we're talking about leadership. We're talking about development. We're talking about helping people out. We're talking about moving them in the right direction, coaching and teaching and allowing people to grow. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Shirley V. Baez, founder of Leadership Academy and board member of Black Ops Foundation. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing on behalf of our veterans and their families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you have, you know, any plans for, you want to get rid of, or some property you don't have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or that home donation button to support our work. We, all of us right here, really would appreciate your support. God, I just can't say Shirley. They got it up here, Shirley. First Sergeant. All right, First Sergeant. let's talk about Leadership. I want to make sure I understand. People understand. I think that's a good play on words right there. Her development, Leadership Academy. What is the mission and how did it really, how did it all begin?
Yeah. So I love that you caught on to the play on words, because that derived from my first book, Lead Your Ship.
Yeah.
So making sure that we're all leading ourselves first, right? Yeah. In our lives and all. And so again, going back to what I was saying earlier, Leadership Academy really was born from my transition, right? I realized not only for me and in my journey as a leader, but also I saw, you know, women in the corporate sector or women entrepreneurs or even women that were transitioning out of the military, you know, struggling with confidence in this new environment, clarity, right? Where am I going now, right? And just emotional resilience. I saw specifically for women veterans that in the military, they teach us how to be tough and hard, right? And that's our exterior. But once you start peeling the onion or peeling the layers, you see inside that a lot of us are struggling either emotionally, financially, with clarity, where are we going now? What do I want to do? Women in corporate, okay, how do I make myself be seen? How do I advocate for myself, wanting to hit the next ladder in the promotion, you know, in the promotion spectrum. And that's how everything just started. It's just to promote leaders by helping them understand who they are, how to communicate that, and how to lead with purpose.
Yeah. You say an interesting thing, you know, that you're struggling, you don't, and people don't know that you're struggling. Well, guess what? The males that you're around doing the same thing. They're struggling the same thing. Because we're taught, all of us are taught in the military to keep things to ourselves. Don't talk about how you feel. Don't talk about who, you know, what's bothering us. So we're really our own worst enemy, because we won't open up a little bit. And I think maybe a dumb story, but somebody one time come to me and said, there's a soldier out that's pregnant pulling guard out from the main gate or something like that. Sergeant Major, you can't do that. I said, well, does she have a profile? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I'll tell you, she doesn't. That's what the doctor said she can do. And that's certainly, she has a profile. So because we have to treat people the same way, no matter who they are, you know. And I think sometimes people have a tendency to, if you're a male or a female, you want to treat people different. Last, probably a better example. I had a driver one time that was a female. And we went up to Graffenbeer. We got a flat tire. And she said, Sergeant Major, what are we going to do? And I said, what do you mean we?
Yeah.
Right. I said, you're going to change it. That's your job, your responsibility. So you know, it may sound a little crude, but it's the truth. This is your job. This is your responsibility. Now, if you're in a nice dress, I'll open a door for you. But if you're a spec four and I'm a sergeant major of the Army, open the door for me. I mean, if you want to treat everybody the same, treat them all the same. Don't try to cut corners. I don't know. Again, I'm an old guy. I don't know if that makes sense.
But no, I totally agree with you. And it has to do with the environment, right? What environment are you in, and what are you there to do, especially?
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have a tendency as males to be overprotective of females. And maybe it's a little bit different now. It's just the way it is. And I told somebody one time, I maybe shouldn't say this either, but you know, I've been around a lot of death in my life, and I've seen a lot of stuff, I guess, but I've sort of worked through those issues. We talk about it all the time about this stuff, but seeing a female that was hurt or harmed or killed would hurt me a lot more. And really, quite frankly, would make me angry a lot more. And so it's just a culture, the way we grew up. And it's just, you know, again, for the people listening, it probably don't make no sense, but I'm a little crazier anyway. So
no, but I totally get what you're saying. I mean, we want to be independent women, and, you know, we can work hard and do all of that. But we understand that males naturally do feel inclined to want to protect, because that's just kind of the natural order, right?
So,
you know, receive it when it's due, but also know that you also can contribute to the team as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. How do you help people discover their own voice and confidence as leaders? I mean, what do you go through that? How do you do that?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And a lot stems from the work that I've done within myself. And so I've learned to help people kind of slow down and kind of muffle out the noise. There's so much noise, especially now with so much information and social media and all of that. And just get honest with yourself. Like, what is it that your instincts and your gut and your insides, your values, your character is telling you what you want to do? Not what you have to do or what you think you're good at, but really, how do you want to lead your life? And so I love slowing down and like blocking out the noise so that you can have more of that concentration. And that's when clarity comes in. A lot of us in leadership, and I know for me, you know, we tend to perform versions of leadership that we've learned instead of like leading from authenticity or who we really are. And so those are the conversation.
I'm smiling because I agree with you. I used to tell people all the time that be who you are. Don't try to be something else. You know, because people want to, you know, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I've said this to people. They probably don't believe it. I have not ever changed the way I am all the way through the ranks. I don't care what level I was at. And I think when you start changing because you're trying to impress people on who you are, then you sort of lock the focus of what you're doing. Don't change who you are. Sergeant Major Stephen, God bless him, he passed away here a few months ago, but he called me when I got to be the Sergeant Major of the Army up there, and he said, hey, can I give you some advice? And I won't tell you everything he said, but he said, one of the things he said to me, though, he says, they hired you for who you are. He said, don't change. 100%. Don't change who you are. He said, and I'm going to say one more thing. He said, 50% of the people like you, and 50% of the people won't like you. Always. That's just the way of life, no matter what it is. And whatever decision you make, somebody's going to be bothered by that. Again, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think it's important for people to know, be yourself, be who you are, and be respectful. I think that's the key. Yeah,
absolutely. Right. And so throughout, you know, throughout that journey, and I love that you gave that story, because when I was growing up as a leader, I would always call my he used to be my first sergeant, and I held him high regard, really respected him. And I just couldn't understand when he would tell me, Shirley, just be you. Like, I was trying to figure out where is my niche? Like, where am I, you know, and until I got out of my own way and just truly embraced who I am. And then that's how you lead. And it just clicked. And so when I work with people, I provide them with, you know, just practical tools such as, you know, I created a daily leadership journal. That's another thing that I'm very proud of, because I love creating. And so I created this journal specifically for leaders. I use that. I use practical tools. I love storytelling, because people can relate very much as you and I are exchanging stories.
Absolutely.
We connect and it makes sense with people. And so for me, it's all about that. And once you know who you are, find your voice, confidence will come naturally, right? That would be a byproduct.
Yeah. Well, a really neat thing, again, people grow in the military and they sort of force you in those positions. Every time you get promoted, you got to move up. You got to take charge. You got to do those things. So you grow and you're developing. But the really neat thing about development, too, is watching the people around you, watching the good, like we talked before, I said before, there's the good leaders around you. So that was I love watching good leaders or listening to good leaders. The other thing is, people sometimes they philosophize about what it takes to be a good leader. And I say it's real easy. Do your job. Right. Talk to people. Listen to people. Communicate with people. Just do what you're supposed to be doing. You know, maybe things will come out good. And the biggest thing, again, is this social media part. I love social media. You know, I do a lot of stuff with that. But the fact of the matter is, it's a hindrance, too, because people are on social media, they don't communicate as much as they used to. So it's sort of screwed. Hey, I got another question here for you. You've said before that leadership starts with healing. I love that. That's powerful. What does that mean to you? And why is it self-awareness such a critical piece of true leadership?
Because you can't really lead others if you haven't learned to face yourself or lead yourself.
That's true.
That's basically it for me. Yeah. And it all starts with self-awareness, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't heal your wounds, your fears, your insecurities, your past traumas, and a lot of us who have come in the military, we don't come from the best, you know, backgrounds, right? We try to find a community and an environment where we feel belonging, when there's there's camaraderie,
accepted, right?
And so when we perform out of those past traumas, we tend to then lead through ego instead of purpose. And I learned that the hard way as a young leader, right? As a young leader, you don't know what you don't know. They just put you in charge of these people and you're like, you think that by you telling them and you have the rank that they're supposed to lockstep and do. And, you know, in the military, yes, you can get away with that because of rank that plays a big role. But when, for example, you go to like special operations community where things are more autonomous, or outside of the military, totally different world. Totally, like your EQ level needs to be like up here, because civilians, they don't know, right? They haven't been in that structured environment. And so with me, when I did the inner work, or when leaders do the inner work first, you know, you lead with clarity, you lead with empathy, and you lead with authenticity at the end. And to me, that's real leadership.
Yeah, well, this is an old saying. I used to say it. I was talking to Dave a little while ago about it, and you're too young to know about that. There used to be a saying, "Are you real or Memorex?" Years ago, that's a long time ago. But that's really true. Are you who you think you are, and how do people look at you? Everybody looks at you a little bit differently. And the other thing I think is so important in leadership, leaders or good leaders are going to make mistakes. Everybody makes a mistake. Don't kill them for making a mistake. You get paid to develop and mentor and coach people, young adults. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be successful. It really makes me really proud sometimes when I makes me proud all the time. When I go back and see guys and gals that maybe I'd helped on their way in the military. Now they're sergeant majors or they're general officers in some places. And
nice.
And think, man, I did a pretty good job here. No,
but, you did.
Well, I didn't do it. I got to tell you one more story. So I had I told a story the other day too. I had a lieutenant in a gym, had his rank on wrong or something like that. He's a second lieutenant. Nobody's going to help us. Who left? Second lieutenant. So they're all walking by snickering and stuff. So and I'm going to say I was a first sergeant. So I stopped and I said, "Hey, sir, come here." Got him all squared away and then say, "Okay, hey, thanks, first sergeant. I'll see you later." So he went away. And I didn't think really nothing of it because that's what you do. That's your job.
Yes.
And so probably 15 or 20 years later, I'm a sergeant major and I'm speaking out at Fort Sill. And guess who introduced me? But now he's a lieutenant colonel. And he tells that story. So you never know the impact that you have on people. And, just a little thing sometimes mean a whole heck of a lot more than what you think. Hey, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like you to tell our audience about the Black Ops Foundation. I know that's big in your heart right there, so don't go anywhere. I'll be right back in just a second. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Shirley Baez, author, speaker, entrepreneur, coach, founder of the Lead Her Ship Academy. I love that. And a board member of the Black Ops Foundation. And a first sergeant in the United States Army. I love that too. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I've said many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You could call me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Guess what? Just like Shirley, I'll reach back out and talk to you. Hey, I'm not going to say Shirley, first sergeant. Tell us about your Black Ops Foundation. What's your mission, and how are you helping mentor the next generation? I guess it too.
Absolutely. So the Black Ops Foundation is very, very important to me. It's our mission is really to highlight the stories, the untold stories of minority service members serving in the United States Special Operations community to inspire the next generation. Right now, we are getting ready to launch our pilot program, which is the Black Ops Mentorship Program. And what we do with that is we mentor kids from underserved communities, become the next leaders of our generation, utilizing the principles of leadership that we learned throughout our military career. And so pilot program is set to launch in the fall of 2026, and we're super, super excited about it. I mean, we're guiding them, we're mentoring them, and we're teaching them about, self-leadership, discipline. We're providing them practical guidance. That way they see us and see a lot of us coming out of the military being successful as role models that they can emulate, right? And see beyond their immediate environments right now that might not be as ideal.
Are the instructors all minorities? Are they minorities or black, white, or a mixture of both?
For the most part, but we're mixed. We are a mixture.
I'm just going to say I was going to say it should be a mix, because I can think of a whole bunch of guys that were minorities. I didn't call them minorities. I call them Sergeant Wilson, and you know what I'm talking about. That coached and teached me in the military. That did a whole heck of a lot. And I tell people this all the time, and I don't think they believe me, but hopefully most people do, is I've never seen color. I mean, I know there's a black man, a black woman, you know what I'm talking about, but I don't think about that. You know, not once in my life did I ever say, I get ready to go fight or do something, did I say, what color is a guy to my left or right? And I think that's one of the advantages of the military, because we don't think that way. We think about performance and we think about friends. And that's why I always say when you do something like that, make sure there's a mixture, because there's a stronger message in there than just a group of minorities, a group of white people, you know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying the wrong thing here, but I just want to make sure that, I mean, not make sure, I'm not out of involvement, but it's, we learn so much in the military, and we can give so much back to our young adults and to young men and women, that we just got to show them what right looks like. And I think sometimes people want to screw things up a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? It's a great country. We just got people that just sometimes got their glasses on and can't figure it out. Anyway, I'm off that. I just want to make sure we're doing the right stuff anyway. So.
No, absolutely. It's a conglomerate of so many different people in this project. But for us, what we try to do is to kind of just target those kids, seeing ourselves in them as we grow up, so they can have a relatable, type of role model. But definitely we understand that throughout our military career, what made us stronger was all of the shades, right? All of the different backgrounds. That's what made our military the best in the world, efficient and successful for sure.
Yeah. I, as you're talking, I'm thinking about stuff I went through. I remember when I first went in the military, this years ago now, before you was even born, I'm sure. But they had open showers where, there'd be 15 people or 8 people or 10 people taking a shower, and it was white, black, and everybody else. And you wouldn't, give me your soap.
Absolutely. So, you work together. That was me too when I was growing up in the military. So definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, the Untold Stories of Black Ops Foundation have received, quite a lot of attention, haven't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. So our documentary is streaming right now on Amazon Prime. And it's been incredible to see how those stories, really connected with people. And with that, we host panel discussions, which we call roadshows, right? We do that and across different cities in the United States, bringing veterans, families, and the community together, right? Because again, we go back to storytelling is so, its strength brings people together and, helps them heal, helps them unite and inspires them. So for us, storytelling is very, very big.
Yeah, I was going to tell you this a minute ago. When I grew up, the last 2.5 years of my life, I lived in a laundry room, just big enough for a single bed. These guys heard the story, but a single bed had 3 shelves. I put my clothes on, a little vent I looked at. And I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter where you start in life, it's where you finish. You know what I mean? So the only thing that stops you is you. So, hey, before I let you go, I've heard a special event is coming up in June in Normandy. I've been to Normandy, just to let you know. What's going on?
Oh my God, this is super exciting. I got invited to be part of Fox Force, which is a nonprofit of women veterans and women, and patriots and all who support the military community, mentor other women. And so they invited me to be part of their group to commemorate the 82nd anniversary of D-Day in Normandy, France. And they put together a full chalk of women who are going to parachute out in Normandy.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, in the drop zone over there. And so I'm super, super excited. And it's basically, you know, to pay tribute and honor to those who serves and the paratroopers that were there that day, right? For me, overall, it's not just an event, right? It's really honoring the history and what it represents to paratroopers, to women that have contributed to that fight during that time. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. We are right now raising funds, donations for our, you know, for our training, for all of us that were jump masters to get recertified to participate as jump masters during this airborne operation. And yeah, it's going to be a huge success and it's a big deal. We're partnering up with Warrior Rising, who's leading the charge on that. I believe the 82nd Airborne Division is also going to be there, right? Because the 82nd anniversary of this event. And I'm very much looking forward to it.
You can't say anything without me having a story. So two things. What is, you would never get me to jump. I was in 173rd for a short period of time before I went to Vietnam. So I've jumped before too. You would never get me to jump out of a plane again. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I've been to Normandy. The last time I was in Normandy, it was the 50th anniversary. And I'm standing there, and I was a sergeant major. And this guy comes up and says, you need to move. And I thought, why are you waiting me? Why do I need to move? And the president was speaking, right? In fact, it was President Clinton at the time. Mm-hmm. The president was speaking. And he said, this guy come up and said, you need to move. And I said, why? He said, because you're in line with a sniper. Oh, let me move out of the way.
Oh, you might want to do that for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to cause no problems. Hey, first of all, I don't want you to shoot me in the back to try to get the,
Exactly. Yeah, God, it's going to be fun times. This is my first time being there.
Yeah.
So I'm very much looking forward to it. We start our airborne recertification refresher training in January. Yeah. And yeah, we're ready to rock and roll.
Well, again, I've reached a point in my life. I want to watch them come down and then tell me about your flight or something. I don't want to.
Every once in a while, you gotta have, you know, that adrenaline rush. I get it.
Look here, I have an adrenaline rush when I'm playing golf. That's enough for me.
I hear you. It's living that retired life. I don't know. It's like the paratrooper hasn't come out of me yet. You know, it's like
help me out a little bit. Hey, first of all, it's been a great discussion. I enjoyed talking to you, and thank you for what you're doing because you're making a difference.
Thank you.
And sometimes you won't see the difference that you're making for years down the road, but I guarantee you, you're having an impact with the Leadership Academy. I love that. And the people around you, all the stuff you know with Black Ops. So I just love that. Hey, any final thoughts? Maybe something you want to send the audience, tell the audience about before we get out of here. Maybe educate them on something. Go ahead. Jump on them. Get that first sergeant pumping in there a little bit. Go ahead.
Absolutely. If you find it in your heart to donate to Fox Force and our training.
There you go.
You know, the podcast has the link, which I'm sure they're going to post. Please donate whatever comes out of your heart. Please find me at www.shirleybias.com to learn more about Leadership Academy. And also follow us on LinkedIn for the Black Ops Foundation. And we're there, and we come to Tampa at least once or twice a year to do our road shows. We love to see you there.
Well, you know, I think I seen on NFL one time, Black Ops Foundation, something on there too, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Did I see it? Yeah. You guys got, some good connection. Thanks again for being on the show. I certainly appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks again to Shirley Baez for being with us. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. Thank you for joining us. And log on to our website, yournextmission.org. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Offline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn. And if you like what we're doing on Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast releases. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to First Sergeant, not Shirley, First Sergeant for being with us today. Let me tell you something. When you're talking about leadership, you're talking about development, you're talking about taking care of people and developing them to be a good person, a good leader, a good civilian, a good supporter. You're talking about the future of our country. We need good leaders. And that's exactly what the First Sergeant is doing, is making good leaders for our country and for our community. So if you have a chance, she gave you the website. We'll put it on our podcast here for you. But reach out to her. See if you can help her. If you need some help, I'm sure she'd want to help you. So I just love talking about leadership. I love talking about helping people grow and develop and mentor and coach. So just reach out to them. Do all you can to help them. They certainly want to help all of us. Thanks for watching. And thanks to Newmont Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.